tyranny. Long live the world trade. Long live the king, yo. I'm from the Empire State. That's
listeners, this is episode 40, that is 40, of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and this milestone, I suppose, is going to be all about Karen's experiences at New York Comic Con, a bit of a redux on the San Diego Comic Con episode, where Karen got to go along to the convention and go to the fan panels and the press panels for Teen Wolf, so yay for that. It's just me and Karen today, so hello.
Hi.
As usual, if you want to chat to us about this, you can reach us on the Twitter, which is NATW Podcast, and the Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, and on the podcast page on hyperball.com. So that's where you can hang out. Our email, if you want to send us a private message, is natwpodcast@gmail.com. Or we've all got personal Twitters, which you might see around at some point. But anyway, I've just put up a tweet asking if anyone wanted to ask questions about this. So obviously when you're listening to this, won't be able to still ask a question, but you might hear your question asked if you've seen my tweet now. And it's now Thursday, so it was the prior weekend, this weekend, right?
Yep.
The last weekend. And obviously you're from New York, so you've... a bit easier to get to than...
Yes, than flying all the way to San Diego.
Yeah,
it's about a 3.5-hour bus ride compared to, like, a 7-hour plane ride. So, although it did take, like, closer to 5 hours because there was an accident in the Lincoln Tunnel and it took forever to get through that.
That sucks. Did you get to stay in New York City? Where were you staying exactly when you stayed, when you went for Comic-Con?
I actually stayed with Laura, who's another writer on Hypeable, at her place in New Jersey, which was pretty nice to have, like, an actual bed to sleep in and, you know, rather than a hotel.
Yeah. And so where, so how long did it take to get into the convention every day? These are very technical questions and important to people, I know, but just... You know,
it actually was, it was a lot better than San Diego. For you guys that don't know, San Diego is like huge. It's like the biggest one. New York Comic Con is still trying to get its feet off the ground. And so it's a bit smaller. I say smaller because, like, you know, it's like 100,000 people compared to, like, you know, San Diego, which might be like 3 times that. But it really wasn't too bad. It took us like 30-minute drive to get into the city, which really, you know, is not that horrible. And then it was cool because we were pressed. We got to wait in a different line. So that was like really easy to get into as compared to standing with all the regular people, the civilians, which would have been horrible. Sorry, guys, but I do not feel bad about that at all.
You know. Perks, what can you say?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's only 30-minute drive, so that's, and you've got to go home and hang out with Laura. Is this the first time you went to New York Comic Con, or did you get to go last year or any other time?
No, I was looking into going last year, like, a week before it happened, and they were all sold out of any kind of tickets, so I wasn't able to go. So this year I got on it right away, and yeah, it was my first time, and it was pretty cool, though. Doing a lot of cons this year. This is actually the first time I've ever been to any convention. So,
yeah.
You know, hit the big ones first, I guess.
Yeah. So that's super cool. And what did you think of, like, the kind of, you said it's, like, kind of smaller than San Diego Comic-Con, but what, how did you feel in regards to the sort of the vibe of it compared to San Diego and, you know, the convention center and the way that people were acting and the layout and the kind of size of the panel rooms, anything about it? Because San Diego has a real holiday vibe. The con happens, obviously, San Diego Comic-Con happens in the middle of summer. It's in the Gaslamp District of San Diego, which is really kind of like a little, cute old part of town. And so you've got the massive convention center, then all these little streets where everyone sort of hangs out, and it's got a certain vibe to it. So where was the New York Comic-Con held, and like what was the convention atmosphere like for that?
It was held at the Javits Center, which is pretty big. It's not huge. It's not quite like the San Diego Convention Center. But I think one of the pros and one of the cons of New York Comic Con is that it is smaller. So on the one hand, there are less people. It feels a little more intimate. It's not quite as much of a struggle to get through, like, the show floor and stuff like that. You can actually move at some points instead of, you know, being, like, gridlocked in sometimes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the rooms are a bit smaller. I barely got into the Teen Wolf panel, which would have been, like, horrible because that was the main reason why I was going. Everything else was sort of a perk, but I was there for Teen Wolf. So if I got locked out of that, I would have been really disappointed.
Yeah, so, like, how big, like, how many people do you think were in the room for that?
I want to say they ended up getting 2,000 people in there.
Oh, that's still quite a lot.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That was in their biggest room, and just as comparison, San Diego's biggest room holds 6,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy. Yeah, that's cool, though, that they were on the main stage for New York Comic Con. Was that the only, like, was Teen Wolf the only panel you, like, did you go to any other panels, or?
I went to a few others. I had to sit through the Superman comics panel before that, which really wasn't that interesting, but, like, I ate lunch and settled down a little bit because I had been sort of running around all day. what else did I do? I went to the Sleepy Hollow panel, which basically convinced me to start watching the show.
Really? I've heard such mixed reviews.
Yeah, I think, like, it's not going to be for everybody, but the cast is, oh my god, their chemistry together and just how they interact. I was like, I love these people and I don't even know their names, so it was really cool.
I've definitely had that about some stuff before. Like, not that I'm kind of a big person, like, there's this certain wedge of people who kind of sometimes get into fandoms without having seen the original source material of the thing, and I'm not super pro that. Like, I'm kind of makes me feel a bit uncomfortable, but I do understand getting into something because of, like, it's sort of in the quote-unquote wrong order, like, because you say, oh my god, this cast is so funny, I want to see their show, and then you go watch the show. That's cool. I kind of have met people who, like, fully get into a fandom, like reading fan fiction and stuff, before they've seen, like, the source material of whatever it is, and I'm kind of not so much into that, but I've definitely got into stuff because I've been like, oh my god, these people are amazing, I need to see what happens here, kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be really weird to read fan fiction before you even watch the show.
It definitely happens, and for me to say, ooh, that's a bit weird, is almost like taboo. Like, apparently it's something you're really not meant to judge people for. I just couldn't do it. Like, I'm just like, no, I need to know the canon before I get into a fandom, but
yeah.
But, like, whatever, it's fine. But I've definitely got into fandoms, like, because of, like, some random, like, oh my god, I'm so obsessed with panels or something like that. I guess there's, like, gif sets of everything on Tumblr, and people feel like they totally know, like, a show before they watch it and stuff with just via gifs.
That is so not true. I mean, if you guys have read any of the posts that have gone up on Fightful, that a few of us have written about, like, everything I know about this show is from Tumblr. I wrote one about Game of Thrones, and apparently I was, like, way wrong.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
That is not true.
Okay, well, moving on from that. I'm quite interested. I didn't realize till really recently that Sleepy Hollow was, like, a modern show. Like, I thought it was, like, just it's the guy, but, like, now, right? Like,
right, basically, yeah, Ichabod Crane. And it's, yeah, I mean, seriously, it's so funny. At one point, like, we saw a bunch of different clips, and I think one of the clips was from, like, a previous episode, because people were already pretty aware of it, I think. He was, like, talking to the OnStar lady, like, explaining what had happened to his wife and how she had died, and like the OnStar lady is like crying, and she's like,
seen that in
he's like,
format.
Yeah, like, thank you, little voice lady from the button or whatever. Oh my god, it was so funny.
I kind of want to watch it. See, Hannibal. Hannibal is a show that I feel like I would get into purely because I know that the fandom and the cast are awesome, if you know what I mean. I am not so interested in people eating each other, but but their fandom is, like, hardcore crazy in a good way, and their showrunner really plays up to their fandom. Like, you know Flower Crowns?
Yes.
Flower Crowns have really taken off in the Hannibal fandom, and the showrunner and the cast love it and keep posting, like, Twitter pictures of them on set wearing Flower Crowns.
I saw that, like, Gina Torres.
It's so weird. I don't really understand, like, why, but it seems like everyone there is a mentalist, and so I'm, like, quite keen on that. They're having a lot of fun. It's great. So I might watch Hannibal purely because they're all crazy. Anyway, moving on from that, the actual Teen Wolf panel. How many Teen Wolf events did you go to?
Basically two. We had the panel, the regular panel that all the fans got to see, and then I got to do round tables with Jeff, Dylan, and Lyndon.
Okay. And then what was the scenario with the unseen footage or the script read something like that?
Yeah, okay. So this is great. As you guys probably know, because I've been talking about it for a while, like Matt from the official Twitter for Teen Wolf, he was like, you guys, if you dress up in character, we'll show you exclusive scenes from the show. And I was like, dude, I'm already going to New York Comic Con. Allison's pretty easy. I just need like a leather jacket and some boots and like, you know, find a bow and it'll be easy. Well, I spent all day that Sunday before I left on Thursday finding stuff to make an Allison outfit. And it literally took me all day. We were out shopping for like 11 hours or something crazy.
Oh my god.
And I found everything and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm going to see those exclusive scenes. I'm going to be able to tell everybody about it. It's going to be awesome. Well, we get there and I find a bunch of people who are cosplaying too. Come to find out, they didn't have exclusive scenes. They had parts of the script that you could act out them, and then you were able to, like, you know, obviously read what was in the script. And I was like, no thanks. I probably should have done it because it was such a pain to get dressed up and then it basically came to nothing. But I was like, no. And plus, a lot of us were worried that we weren't going to get into the panel, too.
Oh.
And they ended up letting the Teen Wolf people in that were acting out those scenes. Like, they came and joined us in line and nobody said anything. I mean, it was fine. So, you know, but I really didn't want to miss it, and I really didn't want to act out any scenes in front of people, and I think they were, like, recording it, and I was like,
oh, God.
I don't really know what happened with that, but.
That's funny, though.
Yeah,
what a weird thing.
Most I got out of that costume was blisters on my feet.
I'm sorry. But that's a shame, but it's sort of funny. Was there any other good cosplay for Teen Wolf that you saw, though?
Yeah, I met some people, which was really fun. There were a couple of Melissa McCalls. There was a couple more Allisons. There was a lot of Lydias. I was not necessarily surprised, but there was a lot of them. Styles, of course. I think there was one Scott and one Derek. And I think somebody was Isaac, too. There was a lot of, like, girls kind of, like, taking, like, Styles, but making him, you know, a girl. And that sort of thing, which I always think is cool to kind of, like, cross it over like that. But a lot of the cosplays were really, really good.
That's really cool. How do you sort of, I think I saw one of Derek. I think I saw a picture somewhere of, like, Derek either, I think, carrying, like, Erica, like, a dead Erica.
Yes! Oh, my gosh. I was right there. Like, I was on the other side of them as they were taking that picture.
And it was, like, the scene, like, the exact scene when he carried
her out. I was like, oh, this is so sad. But it was really good. I mean, it really, like, the girl dressing up as Erica, like, she did a really great job. And then just, like, him holding her like that, like, it looked so much from the show. It was amazing.
That's so cool. What did people wear to, like, dress as Scott? Like, was it sort of just How did you tell it was Scott? Like,
the one girl, well, mostly, like, a lot of people were wearing jerseys, so, like, you could see the name on them. The girl that dressed up like Scott basically just had, like, a jersey on and, like, a regular outfit for lacrosse, and she had the werewolf, like, nails, and then she had teeth, too. And
oh,
that
that's
was
cool. Because I'm like, most of the time they sort of just look like teenagers. Like, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah. Some of them did, yeah.
But that's fine. So the actual panel, 2,000 people, was Jeff, Lyndon, and Dylan. So what happened, basically? What were the best parts? What was, you know, what was, like, the biggest news, and what were kind of the little moments that aren't worth being a news story but that you liked the best?
There was a lot. Well, first of all, they started off with announcing season 4, which was really exciting. Everybody was really excited about that.
Is that the first time that that news was broken, like that they'd been greenlit for season 4?
Yes, it was.
Cool.
And the sad part about that is that it's only going to be 12 episodes, but Jeff did that because he couldn't handle another 24, which on the one hand, I totally get, but on the other hand, I'm like, no, I want more, but, you know, I think it's okay, and I don't want him to be like, yeah, I can't do this anymore, and, like, you know, pass it off to somebody else, because I think so much of the heart of the show comes directly from Jeff, so I'm cool with it. I'm glad they got the season 4 renewal. It's going to be cool.
Mm.
And then along with that, they announced Wolf Watch, which is an after show that will premiere after each episode, hosted by Jill Wagner, who played Kate Argent.
Mm.
And they're going to discuss the show. Celebrity guests are going to be on. And I guess super fans are going to be on, too, which is kind of cool. I don't know what that's going to entail. Like,
yeah. I wonder if it'll be anyone we know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that means, like, you know, Chantel. I'm sure Chantel and Jeremiah will be on there. But I don't know, like, who else will necessarily get the chance. So I think that'll be cool, though, because it's always really fun when a show sort of, like, incorporates the fandom into a lot of what they're doing. I think that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty pretty interesting. I'm wondering how they're going to orchestrate that, because when we, you know, interviewed Chantel, they recorded those episodes that she did with the cast pretty much early on in the season, like where she got to preview all of the, you know, the episodes, because they were recorded a long time before it aired. So I'm wondering how they're going to do that with these kind of, you know, this kind of thing with fans, because obviously she's worked with them and she has confidentiality clauses, and whether fans will just be not necessarily chatting about the episode that's just been seen, or like what will happen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I think they're going to have to work out, but I'm sure that, you know, it'll go over really well either way. And just so you guys know, we're available. You know, we're super fans. We can
be
do
on
this.
Wolf Watch. We could totally be on Wolf Watch. I could watch a wolf. Like, that's a thing. You know, well, it's true.
Then after that, they showed a clip from the second half of season 3, which was really exciting. I knew we would be getting a clip, but I didn't know what it was going to involve. And it was really good. Basically what happened, I don't think there's an official version out there yet, but there's, you know, some recordings and stuff. But basically you see Styles walk into the classroom. He tries to sit down. This girl, like, signs to him, and he doesn't know what she's saying, but he lets her have his usual seat. And he kind of, like, walks back to another seat, and he's all kind of grumpy, but, you know, he wasn't going to say anything. And then he starts flipping through his book, and he realizes that nobody's moving, nobody's doing anything. Everything's really silent. And he looks up at Coach, and Coach starts signing to him just like the girl did. And Styles is like, what's going on? And the coach is, I mean, you've never seen him that serious before. Like, it was really weird. And he just keeps signing the same thing over and over again. And so Styles was like, you know, I must be in the wrong class or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he says. He gets up to leave, and the whole class turns at the same time and starts signing at him. And by this point, I have, like, goosebumps because it's so eerie and so creepy. And he starts hearing this sound, and it looks like he's going to pass out. And all of a sudden, he, like, jolts awake, and he's in that same class, but it's, like, real life now, and the coach is blowing his whistle. And, of course, Coach has, like, the best line when he says, "Stilinski, stop reminding me why I drink." It was nice. So good. The whole place just burst out laughing. It was so funny. And then, basically, Styles is like, "Oh, I must have fallen asleep." And he turns to Scott, and Scott's like, "Dude, you weren't asleep." And of course, you know, my goosebumps like triple now. And he looks down at the book that, and he's been writing in it, and he wrote over and over again, "Wake up, wake up, wake up." And then it sort of cuts there, and you're like, "Whoa, what did I just watch?"
I have seen a bootleg of it, and it was, yeah, it was pretty eerie. Like, I'm a bit,
yeah,
I'm a bit sort of terrified as to where this is going to go. Like, especially given that it's Styles, like, and, you know, he's not necessarily one who's had, like, visions and stuff like that before. Like, it's very curious. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, like, for anybody who hasn't been to a convention before, when they play clips like that, and, you know, you're sitting at home by yourself, and, you know, it's all very cool and awesome, multiply that by like a million, because you're with a whole bunch of other people who know what you're watching, are just as big of a fan as you are, and it's dark and it's loud and the screen is huge, and it's just, you know, you can't, it's like going to the movie theater but better and bigger. And so that scene was just like super creepy, and I'm so excited to see it like within the episode, because I think it's gonna be just as good.
Yeah, I am as well also. And what was, were Dylan and that in the room when that was happening?
Yep.
Did you catch a glimpse of his reaction at all, or?
No, because they shut all the lights off, so you couldn't even see him. Yeah.
Yes, so besides from the clip, did they give any hints about that in, when they talked, or?
Not really. They talked a lot about the fact that this second half of the season is going to be the psychological thriller portion, because they did a lot of action in the first half of the season, and Jeff was saying how difficult it is to sort of keep up that pace and everything, and they really kind of wanted to, like, go back to the characters and get into their heads a lot more, which I think is really going to be beneficial, because as much as I love, like, action movies and stuff like that, I think the show is really great with all the fight scenes and everything that's going on. But Jeff is really good at doing those sort of, like, in-your-head type of things where it's really creepy. Like, a lot of what he did with Lydia recently in the first half of the season, I think we're going to be seeing more things like that, and I think it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I'm fairly excited for that. Yes, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's very cool. I don't know if it's going to be too creepy and I won't be able to watch it. Like, I'll be like, I don't know. I feel very creeped out. So all these people are like, Styles is going to die, and I'm like, no, that's not a thing. I don't know, man. I don't know. What was the panel like, though, the dynamic of just... Because that's quite an interesting dynamic to have Jeff and then Lyndon and Dylan.
Yeah, it was really fun, actually. Not that I expected anything less, because all three of those guys are really cool. But... first of all, Dylan and Lyndon together is, like, too much adorable for one room. They were amazing. They just kept saying, like, about each other, how much they respected each other and how much they loved working with each other. And Lyndon was like, yeah, he's, like, my kid. And, you know, he said at one point how, like, you know, his parents would be hanging out with Dylan. Like, Dylan's parents would be with him. And then Lyndon would be like, you know, are you done yet? You guys are cutting into my time. Like, it's so obvious how much that they actually care about each other. And they kept, like, hugging each other. And it was just, oh, it was so amazing.
That's so cool. I am very, very keen on this. This situation right here, I am very, very keen on it. What else? Anything else worth sort of noting in regards to, like, was there fan questions? Like, was there a Q&A or anything like that?
Yep, there was.
Anything good happened there?
Let's see. Well, Marie, who is kind of a friend of the podcast, I met her through Brooke, and we actually got to meet up at the convention, which was really cool. She's really awesome. Mm-hmm. And she got to ask a question, and I don't know how people got this. I'm really disappointed I didn't get any, but they were giving out candy, mountain ash, I think it was. And, or was it candy wolfsbane? No, it had to have been mountain ash because she got up to the microphone. She's like, I just have to say this, mountain ash. And she just yelled it and everybody started cracking up. And I think it was Dylan was like, we do that too. We do that all the time.
Oh my God.
So not only
I
is
need
that
to
a joke.
See this happen.
Yeah. Not only is it a joke within the fandom, but apparently it's a joke on set too, which I think is really amazing.
God, crazy people.
But I don't remember a lot of the questions that were asked, except for one girl who dressed up as the Jeep. Her outfit was really cool, actually. And she asked, like, if Dylan had any headcanon about the Jeep and like how he got it and stuff. And first of all, Lyndon had no idea what she was talking about with like headcanon. And there was feels. I think she said feels. And he was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And Dylan was like, I'll tell you, just like continue with your question. And so he kind of had to explain that to Lyndon. And they talked a little bit about like how they think the Jeep came about. Like if it was like Dylan thought it was a hand-me-down, whereas Lyndon thought that he had gotten it for his birthday or something like that. And I think Jeff said that he liked Lyndon's idea and he was making that like canon now or something. But then Dylan named the Jeep Roscoe. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, cue the fan fiction. Like,
oh, God.
There's going to be so much about it now. But it was really funny how that came about.
That's cute. That's really cute. And yeah. I like that someone dressed up as the Jeep. It reminds me of all those girls that make, like, a dress that's the TARDIS, like, instead of a character.
Yes.
And it's
yep.
cute. I enjoy that. So, yeah, I mean, anything else at the panels that you wanted to talk about? Like, any other big news or funny moments? Or do you want to talk about the interviews?
Well, before we get to the interviews, I think there's one big thing that came out of the panel, but that a lot of people are very curious about. Mm-hmm. And that was how Jeff was saying that Styles will be losing a certain status. Mm. And a lot of people are freaking out about this. And I'll just say that, you know, a lot of people have different theories. The immediate thought was, like, that he would be losing his virginity. Mm. The other thoughts was, like, you know, he would be losing his status as a character, where I think,
or
like,
as
a lot
human or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people are getting worried that he's going to die, like, because of this comment. But I'll just say that this came up, like, right after they were talking about the romance on the show and how, like, Scott would be sort of going back to the beginning when it comes to his love life and like now that Allison and Isaac are closer and you know how there might be new romances and that sort of thing. This came up right after that, so like I have a very strong feeling that it is about his virginity
and that they were talking about like really in that context, not
yeah
like,
yeah
randomly.
They were segueing right into that, so I have a feeling that's what that's about. But still, very interesting. Definitely want to know what's going to be going on there.
I wonder if they will make it like a plot point because, you know, Scott and Allison kind of. It wasn't like it was they, you know. There was plot points later about them, you know, having had sex, and presumably Scott was a virgin for that. Allison may or may not have been, I don't know. And, you know, they have people on the show having sex, but it hasn't been, like, a major plot point. But because Styles has made such a big deal of it, I wonder if it will actually be, a plot point thing. Like, obviously they had the almost plot point of Heather, so I wonder if it will actually be a thing, like, or if it will be an incidental, like, oh, that happened kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards the, oh, that happened kind of thing, just because I think that they had a really strong chance at making it a plot point in the previous half of the season, because it was sort of a big deal there for a while, the fact that he was a virgin and could possibly be taken. And now that that's sort of like off the books, like that's not a worry anymore, I just kind of wonder if it's going to happen incidentally rather than like them making it a, you know,
a thing.
He's like not going to just like go out and like, okay, somebody have sex with me now so that I can be safe.
Yeah. So the round table interviews, was that on the same day?
Yes, it was. It was actually right after the panel.
Oh, cool. And how many people were at that, like compared to that experience at San Diego Comic-Con? Obviously, there's only three cast members there, but, oh, well, Jeff and two cast members, sorry. But how did that go? Like how many press were in for that and how many people per table?
There was a lot more than I thought there was going to be, just because I kind of assumed that not only is Comic-Con smaller, but Teen Wolf isn't, you know, in the scheme of things, isn't that big of a show. And so I was surprised that there were three full tables, so let's say like 8 to 10 press people per table, and then there was a whole line of people who do like the video interviews too, so there was probably like 30 35 people there interviewing them, which was pretty cool. I'm glad to see that the show's getting that much attention, and because there was only three people there, Jeff, Dylan, and Lyndon, we got, you know, like a full 10 minutes with each of them, which was pretty cool. Because at San Diego, there was a lot more people, like a lot more press there. And a lot of the times the cast members had to double up. Like we got Dylan and Hecklin together. We got the twins together. And we didn't even get to interview everybody at San Diego either. Like I missed out on Holland and Daniel, so that kind of sucked. So this time we got a little bit more time and we definitely got all three of them, which was really nice.
That's really cool. So yeah, do you want to talk about what happened with each of those fellows?
Sure. Yeah, we started off with Jeff, which was always a good thing. And he basically talked about season three and how it's going to be, you know, that psychological thriller that he was talking about. And he also talked about, I'm totally going to mess up this word, I think it's pronounced Jungian or something like that. It's very hard to hear him pronounce it.
Yeah, Jungian. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like the philosopher, like Carl Jung. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The and Jungian, it's this
philosophical idea that every person has a dark side, that they have this shadow and like a shadow side to themselves. And so I guess we're going to be seeing a lot of that in 3B, especially our heroes. And so that's going to be kind of cool, especially for, I mean, we've already kind of seen how Allison can go to that dark place. A lot of people can kind of see that dark place in Styles. What I'm really curious about is seeing it in Scott. I think that, you know, we've seen him under the influence of like the werewolf, like the full moon and stuff before, but to see him struggle with maybe something a little bit stronger, considering like how pure his heart is when, you know, it's just him, when he's not being influenced like he was back in season one, I think that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I can't really picture it, like, whether it's, like, dark, slightly sinister, or dark kind of depression, hopelessness kind of thing.
Right.
Which I feel like it could potentially, like, manifest differently in all of the different characters affected, if you know what I mean. Like, right.
It could even be both, too, at the same time.
Yeah. Very curious for me. What else?
We had the Halloween episode came up. Which
Yeah.
A lot of people are really, like, they're really anticipating this episode. Me too. It's actually going to be a two-parter. The first part will focus on Mischief Night, and then the second part will focus on Halloween Night. And he said that it's going to be, the episode was going to center on a blacklight party. And apparently Jeff went to a blacklight party and he was like, wow, this would probably look really cool on film. Mm-hmm. So that's why he decided to do this for the Halloween episodes.
I think we saw some twit pics or something that was like, everyone's like, why are they in rave paint?
Yes.
So, yeah. Apparently that this was why.
Yep, exactly. And he said that it's going to be dangerous for more than one character, and it is going to be held in Derek's loft, and I guess we're going to find out why.
Derek couldn't throw a party if his life depended on it. What? Are you kidding me?
I have a feeling maybe somebody's, like, squatting in his apartment, or, like, I don't think this is Derek throwing a party.
Yeah, pretty much. I just can't picture that.
Another thing that I was really interested in, and this is one of the questions that the only question I got to ask Jeff, was about, like, the hunters and stuff. And I asked him how, at the end of 3A, how Allison and her father decided to change their code from "we hunt those who hunt us" to "we protect those who cannot protect themselves." And I asked if it was going to be a problem in the hunter community. And he said, yeah, it's going to have ramifications, and that there are some people in the hunter community who are not going to appreciate this at all. And he said that, and I'm kind of going to be piecing what he said at San Diego together with this. And what I think is going to happen is we're going to have a new set of werewolf hunters. I believe they're going to be female. And I think what Jeff was basically saying was that they're going to have a Latin influence. So I'm wondering if they're going to be from South America, which is where Cora has been. So there might be an interesting connection there. I'm really curious about this plot point. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I definitely think that could, because they keep going on about the South America thing, don't they? Like, they said that, you know, that Cora was there and that it was important and that it was going to, like, come up or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's cool, a cool way to introduce maybe some more mythology into the show. And, you know, let us look at more hunters, because really we've only seen the Argents and their little posse. And so I think it's going to be cool to see other families and figure out how exactly they operate.
Yeah. Any news on Gerard from anyone?
No, I don't think anybody brought that up.
What is he even doing? Why is he there?
I don't know. He's definitely up to something, though.
Yeah.
But that kind of segues into the fact that the adults on the show are going to have a bigger role, which, of course, I think everybody's excited about, because everybody loves, like, Melissa and the sheriff and stuff like that. And one of the really cool things that Jeff said was that he always hated movies where the parents never believe the kids and all that kind of thing, and it just makes them look stupid. And he was like, we're not doing that. He's like, they're gonna see, like, their kids get involved. They're obviously, you know, the three main parents. We have Chris Sargent, Sheriff Stilinski, Melissa McCall. They all know about the werewolf world now and stuff, and it's definitely going to be like a struggle between how much should they let their kids be involved, how much should they worry, and he said, how much can they be partners to them, or should they be parents? And so I think that's an interesting dynamic compared to the one that's used a lot, where basically the parents are like, oh, you know, you're lying, or I don't believe you, and that gets old really quickly.
Yeah, for sure. It's a bit, are you afraid of the dark? Like, no? Is that too obscure a reference?
I mean, I know Are You Afraid of the Dark, but I've never, like...
just, Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps, the parents are always like, no, child, of course there's no ghost in the cellar kind of thing. It's always very, like, it's always, like, parents being, like, super dismissive of, like, you know, the child thinking that there's something creepy going on, if you know what I mean. And I just, Yeah,
I never ever got into Goosebumps, so that's why I was like,
oh, I don't know. I just have vague memories.
And then the last things that Jeff talked about was the fact that not all the conflict is going to be from outside sources, because we do know that, like, a lot of the Japanese mythology is going to be coming in this season. That's going to be causing problems. But apparently there's going to be quite a bit of fighting amongst our heroes, too. And he said this is especially true of Allison, Isaac, Scott, and Styles. And they're all going to butting heads and stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if, because Scott's been so chill so far, but I wonder if it might be Styles being like, Isaac, you little shit kind of thing. Like, you know,
maybe.
And, you know, him having a go at Isaac for, like, you know, being morally decrepit in his eyes or something about, you know, pinching Allison or whatever, I don't know, like, about stealing her from Scott. I don't know. I can't imagine. I don't know. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah. And then the other thing that kind of goes along with that is the romance and stuff and how, you know, it's going to be complicated. Obviously, we know that there's a lot of, like, love triangles or pseudo-love triangles, however you want to really look at it. And one thing in particular he said, which I thought was cool, was that Styles is becoming more of an adult this season. Mm. He's not just the funny sidekick anymore. He's growing up. And I think that that's really cool, because a lot of the heart comes from Styles and a lot of the humor, but at the same time, he is this really interesting character, and he has already grown up a lot, so it's going to be cool to see him, like, keep going down that path.
Yeah. So what did Lyndon have to say in his roundtable? Like, what was he able to tell you?
Well, he talked a lot about the fact that he finally knows about the supernatural, which I think he was as relieved about as the rest of them.
Yeah.
And he says that it's going to change everything, basically. He's going to look at things with a new perspective. And he said that he's going to be going back and looking at
past crimes.
Yeah, at, like, case files.
Yeah, yeah, like cold cases, and being like, oh, I know how to solve this now. Werewolf kind of thing. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah. And the one cool thing that he said that I have quoted here was, he said, you owe it to the people in the cases you couldn't solve to look at it again. You have a moral obligation. And I think knowing his character and the fact that, you know, he is an officer and stuff like that, that makes a lot of sense to me. And it's going to be cool to see him sort of be able to delve into those things and finally help his son a lot more. I mean, his relationship with Styles is really changing. And a lot of people were wondering if it was going to be an issue, the fact that Styles waited so long to tell him about it. Mm. But Lyndon in particular said that, like, there's no more lies, it's all open, that it's a more honest relationship, and that he sort of understands why Styles didn't tell him right away, that he was trying to protect him. And he says that it's a season of consequence, and that there's a consequence for everything. No event occurs without sending out waves. And I thought that was really cool. And apparently that's going to be big on what they're exploring this half of the season too, because if you think about it, they sacrifice themselves, they have this darkness in their heart, the Nemeton is alive again, that's going to be a beacon calling in other supernatural creatures. Every little thing they do is going to have a ripple effect, and apparently we're going to be seeing a lot of that in 3B.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that in regards to the Nemeton now being alive again. So that's fun, I suppose.
Well, they mentioned that, like, it was going to be a beacon.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, at the end of the season, very end of the season 3A. I do. I mean, is that because of the three being sacrificed, or is that because of, like, Jennifer being killed on it, or all of that?
I think it's everything. I think when they talked about it in particular, they were talking about the three of them. But if you think about it, Jennifer was killed there too. So it makes sense that, you know, that's what would be going on.
I'm wondering if her being sacrificed into it, like, has any space for her to return in any way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like some sort of spirit or something, I don't know. But we shall see, I suppose.
Another cool thing that Lyndon was talking about was his relationship with basically the McCall family as a whole. And he said that his relationship with Scott is also changing, and that now that he knows what's going on, like, they have to work together a lot more. And he's always sort of, I guess, the sheriff has always sort of thought of Scott as another one of his sons. And so I think they're going to be getting closer this upcoming season, which to me is really cool. And it's also going to be really interesting because Lyndon did say, like, you know, I kind of like Scott's mom. And now that, you know, the ex is back in the picture, he's not too happy about that, especially since it does seem like they have a lot of history there. So, yeah, I guess one of the lines that really struck me as sort of being like something that we could maybe read into a bit more was when he says, I always look out for Scott and I know the history. I'm not that keen on him.
The dad. So,
Yeah. So I just, I really want to know what
his daddy.
You know, yeah, what Scott's dad did that's so horrible.
And then we have this news recently that apparently not everyone makes it out alive of this season. I don't know if that was something they talked about at Comic-Con or whether that was just news in general. But we're at the point where I can't imagine any of the original characters dying. Like, I cannot imagine the show running with any with death. We've had lots of incidental deaths of, like, you know, obviously Erica, Boyd, like, and then, like, lesser characters than them as well, like, most of the new characters introduced. I cannot imagine any of the lead five kids or any of the three parents now, main parents, dying. Like, any of the lead eight, you know, Scott, Stiles, Derek, Lydia, Allison, you know, Chris Argent, Sheriff, Mama McCall. I can't imagine any of those people now dying.
What about Isaac?
Isaac, I'd feel bad if Isaac died, I'm not going to lie, because he that would really show Derek as a failure in his choice of, like, turning some little sad teens, but, I don't know.
I guess what was said, I honestly don't remember where this came from, if I read it or if it was at the panel and I remember it from there, but he said, not all of our main characters are going to make it out alive. So that really kind of worries me because, I mean, like you said, I can't imagine them, you know, getting rid of at least our, like, five main cast members that have been there the whole time.
The teenagers, the five main
characters. Yeah, yeah. Isaac, I think it would be really dumb, to put it bluntly, to kill him off because a lot of people love him. But, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So that's at least a slight possibility. And the parents, I mean, I think it would really suck if, like, the sheriff just found out and then he died, you know?
I mean, we've talked a lot about, like, any of those three kids having their parents die would be quite difficult, like, as for them as teenagers, you know, just from a point of, like, where are they going to live? Are they legal adults kind of thing? Like, but I don't know. I really can't imagine it. Like, I can. I mean, Buffy died twice. Like, maybe someone's going to die and come back to life, you know? Like, I can't imagine, like, unless, like, the other thing that makes me wonder if it would be Stiles is that, like, Dylan, you know, is obviously getting so much renown as, like, sort of a young genius that people, you know, he might be like, I'm going to try and, you know, I'm going to try and make it, I'm going to leave this because I want to try bigger things. But I can't imagine him having that attitude. Like, I don't know him, but I can't imagine him having that attitude of, like.
Especially since at the panel he was like, this was my first job, and I couldn't ask for a better job, and when this is over, I'm going to be devastated. It's such a huge part of me. Mm. So, no, Stiles is not going to die.
Let's hope. Let's hope very hard that that's the truth. So, what did Dylan have to say for himself then when you got to sit down with him?
Well, he said a lot of really interesting things, actually. First of all, I have to talk about, maybe you guys can find this video on YouTube. Brooke found it for me earlier today, so I know it's out there. But I was at the table where Dylan was eating a pretzel, and he was trying to talk to the guy about the fact that, like, he was from New York, and he loved the Mets and the Jets and everything. And he was, like, his mouth was full of pretzel, and he was trying to talk, and he couldn't. And it was the funniest thing. And then he takes his drink, and he starts chugging it, and he's, like, making a face. And I'm like, oh, God, how am I going to get through this? I've interviewed him before, but it's just, you know, everything that you guys see on screen and, like, him in interviews and stuff, like, I really think that that's, you know, that's actually him. Like, he's that kind of big and in real life and funny, and, like, he makes all those faces and stuff, and it's just, he's such a funny guy that it's really fun to always get to talk to him and see him do interviews and stuff like that.
I love how chill Karen is about this. Just like, yeah, every time I see Dylan, it's fine. Like, it's awesome. Like,
I've only seen him twice. I'm trying not to make it out like, oh, yeah, you know, I see him all the time. And it's always, like, a big table between the two of us. But it's weird. Brooke described it really well, apparently. Like, I mean, you guys out there know how much I love the show. Like, huge fan of it. But apparently I go into this, like, zen mode when I have to interview these people. And, like, she said, like, all the fangirl just drops away. And it's true. I don't get it, because I'm kind of like a wired person in general. Like, I'm very anxious and stuff and quite shy. But I just totally relax. And I'm like, maybe it's the cast. Maybe they're like magic or something. But I just chill right out when I have to do anything.
That's good. I'm usually pretty good as well. But Teen Wolf is like, I tend to build stuff up in my head, like, a lot. The longer it is between when I start liking something and when I interact with them, like, a lot of, like, the bands and stuff that I really like, I usually, like, see them as soon as I can in concert, you know, like, as soon as they come to my area. And if I really want to meet them, like, I sometimes try and meet them, like, either in an interview way or, like, in a fan way, like, at the stage door or whatever. But I remember, like, the first time I saw, like, the most nervous I ever was the first time I saw a band that I'd liked for, like, years, and it had been a really long time between the time I started liking them and the time that I first saw them, and it was in, like, a really small place, and they were walking around and stuff, and I was, like, super anxious because it had been built up for so long, if you know what I mean, and, like, Teen Wolf, yeah. Like, by the time I meet, like, or see anyone from Teen Wolf, it'll probably be like 2 years since I've started liking the show, and I'll probably be like a little bit like about it, but we'll see. I'll be fine. Yeah. Once I'm, you know, in person, I'll be fine. I won't be an embarrassment to Karen or anything, but but I probably will be a little bit more anxious than I would be, like, you know, liking someone and getting to sort of, you know, meet them or interview them pretty quickly or whatever. But yeah, I will be, hopefully it will be really fun, because I haven't got to go to any Teen Wolf things as of yet, given that I am in Australia, but we have so much planned for the next year, so that will be very good.
So yeah, other than the fact that he's hilarious and adorable in person, the things that he actually talked about,
and eats pretzels,
he loves New York pretzels. basically, the first thing that he talked about was really, really interesting. Somebody asked him to talk about, basically what's going on, like, in that clip and the sort of darkness that is going to be around his heart and Allison's and Scott's. And he said, and I'm quoting all of this because I think it's really important. It's that darkness that Deaton warned us about at the end of last season. For Styles in particular, he's an interesting candidate for a host. Me, Scott, and Allison have very vulnerable minds at this point because we left the door open for what we did to sacrifice ourselves for our parents. Mm. We are prime subjects for any sort of spirits and evil to come in and have a great time. And I was like, whoa. Did he basically just say, like, they're going to be getting possessed this season?
No.
Because that's how I...
Oh, no. I'm scared.
I know. It could be a really freaky season.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit terrified, actually. So, that's fun. And yeah, as I said, we've talked before that like Styles sort of going evil would be like a really scary thing to watch, like that him going really sort of dark, like, is something I think people have actually been quite keen on, but also that it would be really, really, really intense. So whether it's like him or someone possessing him, like him being evil is going to be a little bit awful.
Yeah, and he said that he's very vulnerable, especially since he's sort of like the human, one of the only humans left in like the main group, or even like amongst his friends, he is, other than I guess Allison technically is too, although I always kind of group her with hunters as like something else, but really, they are
She's
human.
still a
And
human. Yeah.
yeah, I just always kind of think of them as a little bit more because they've got like mad knife skills and stuff.
Fair enough.
But Styles is going to be dealing a lot with the fact that he's not safe. And the really funny thing that came out of this was the fact that he compared himself to Mary Jane.
Oh,
And
God.
he walked right into that and he was like, "Oh God, you guys are so gonna run with that now, aren't you?" You could tell he was like,
Was that your question? Like, what happened
yes, it
exactly?
was.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was my
what
question.
happened? What specifically did you ask? Sorry.
I asked, now that Lydia has left Team Human for Team Banshee,
Oh.
is Styles going to be worried about the fact that like he's one of the only humans and that sort of thing? And he said, yeah, being human, he's very vulnerable as he's always been. And then he says, but I think now that it's going to be a lot about Styles kind of dealing with the fact that he's not safe, it's kind of that thing with the superhero's girlfriend. And that's when he was like, yeah, now you guys are going to call me Scott's girlfriend. But then,
Oh,
like, he
God.
said, the ones you love are who you have to keep the furthest away from you. And he was like, I'm sort of surprised that we haven't explored it before now. And he did say, like, he doesn't necessarily know if they're going to go in this direction because he doesn't have all the scripts yet. But he thinks that he could be a target to get to Scott or Derek or, like, any of his other friends. And so he thinks maybe they're going to be toying with that in 3B.
Yeah, I mean, there's been 5 million fan fictions about Styles being a target or a bait or something like that. So, I mean, even
Right.
Gerard kind of had that, but yeah, in a more intense way, I think it could definitely be a thing. So, especially if someone wants to possess him in order to find out information or something like that.
Yeah,
Like as a
definitely.
spy, kind of.
Right. And then his relationship with his father, he touched on just like Lyndon did, basically saying like all the friction's gone, that it's not going to be as hard as it was before because there is, more of an open relationship there between the two of them. So I think that's cool. I think we're going to see a lot more of them working together, which I know like a lot of fans have been excited about seeing Styles, working with the sheriff and like getting through the mysteries and stuff. So that could be really cool. And then the last thing was Styles' love life. And basically, yeah, there isn't too much to be said here, but I remember somebody asking Jeff who Styles' love interest is going to be, and Jeff said that it was going to be a surprise. And I asked Dylan what like if he would be butting heads with Aiden at all because Aiden is obviously with Lydia now. And Dylan said no, that he said that I think he's used to not quite getting what he wants from Lydia, and I think at this point it's like he's comfortable loving her at a distance, and he's sort of come to terms with the fact that there needs to be something there. She needs to love him back in order for it to work. You can't force someone to love you. He can only do so much. And that was really depressing. And I was like, oh, that's really sad. But at the same time, I'm kind of glad that like he's not going to be going up against Aiden because Aiden's kind of scary. I mean, not only is he a werewolf, but he's kind of like an intense, very sort of violent guy. And I don't think Styles would last very long going up against him. So It's going to be interesting to see if what direction he's going to go in, because we do know he's going to have a love interest. We think he's going to be losing his virginity. So I wonder if it's going to be, you know, could it be real? Could it be with somebody that he likes and likes him? Could it be a seduction? Could it be, you know, part of the possession?
Yeah, I mean, is it girl, boy? Is it someone who's already in the show? Because we've got Kira, right. Arden Cho, the Kitsune girl, and she is apparently maybe going to be Scott's person. We don't know this for a fact, but
yeah,
she's the only...
that's what I was wondering.
Know, that's kind of what I thought. I don't know if I made that up, but that's kind of what I thought. And then we don't know who else is around, like whether it's going to be... you know, someone who already exists in the show or someone who doesn't yet exist in the show. But I'm quite curious.
Yeah, I can't decide. Like, we don't really know one way or another, but I think Kira would be interesting to be paired off with either Scott or Styles.
Yeah.
I think either one would be kind of cool, so we'll just have to see. We don't really know anything about that aspect yet.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious.
Yeah, and Dylan did say that, like, there's also a lot going on. So, you know, love life isn't going to be a priority for Styles because things do crazy. And he said, we start losing our minds. And I'm like, oh no.
Excellent news.
Yeah.
No, not here for mind losing in terms of, I don't know, I've got no picture of what's going to happen. Like, I feel like before season 3A came out, we had a pretty good kind of picture of what was going to happen, if you know what I mean. Like, not a lot, but we had sort of the basics of
right.
the overall plot. We knew there was going to be Deucalion. We knew there was going to be this alpha pack. We kind of, we didn't know all that was going to end up happening with the Dirac, but we kind of knew, that Korra was going to be a thing as well, like, maybe we'll know more closer to the time, but I feel like we knew a lot more, and now it's really, I cannot make a picture of what's going on at all.
Yeah, especially with all of the Japanese mythology, because all we really know is that Kira's going to be there. We don't even know if she's going to be the Kitsune or not, which, I mean, I kind of think she is.
It's kind of an assumption, but...
Yeah, we don't know that for sure. And there's going to be quite a few other characters, I want to say, that we know are going to be related to the Japanese mythology.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know anything about them, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see if we end up getting that information prior to the season or if we're going to be kind of going in blind, which I don't mind, because a lot of the times when we report on this news and we kind of dig up all this information for like Tumblr and stuff, we get spoiled on a lot, and sometimes it's cool to know that stuff ahead of time, and sometimes you're like, oh, this would have been a really good twist if I hadn't known about it before. It's kind of, you know, it depends on how you look at it, but it'll be interesting to see how much information we get prior to 3B airing in January.
I am curious as to how much they will release, actually. So, I kind of agree in that we do get spoiled a fair amount when actually reporting on it, which is why I think a lot of the people that do entertainment industry reporting on, like, big websites and not necessarily people who, like, are in the fandom and care deeply. They're a bit more, like, removed from that kind of thing. And they're, like, you know, whereas us, we're, like, trying to do good reporting but also, like, have to sacrifice sort of watching the show unspoiled, which goes for a lot of the fandoms on Hyperball, really, actually. But it would be cool if they kept a lot under wraps, basically, for the sake of us.
Yeah, and,
you know.
Teen Wolf usually does. Like, I'm pretty close with the Once Upon a Time stuff, too, because I'm on the Once Bull podcast. And I've definitely learned a lot more about what goes on in that show ahead of the airing than I do with Teen Wolf. And I cover Teen Wolf a lot more closely. So they're pretty good at keeping their secrets, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Is there anything else from Dylan or anything else from the Comic-Con in general that you wanted to share?
Not really. I mean, that was pretty much all that happened in relation to Teen Wolf. It was a lot of fun. I would definitely go again next year. I think, you know, people who are around the New York City area who want to go, I think it's definitely worth it, especially if you can't usually, you know, make it out to San Diego, which I think is a better convention just because it has more things, but it's also, you know, more expensive and it takes a lot more effort to get out there if you're from the East Coast. So here at Comic-Con is a little bit, you know, better to sort of get your feet wet and that sort of thing. And there's still a lot to do there. It's really cool to see people, you know, to be with the nerds. It's just such a comfortable atmosphere. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I saw a lot of, like, convention regulars kind of who were at New York Comic Con, like people like Seth Green, Nathan Fillion, the kind of people who are sort of belong to fandoms where the cast and stuff are very nerdy and enjoy that culture as well as the fans. So it is a pretty big event. I'm quite keen to go one year myself. So just a tiny bit of a general news roundup or sort of shout outs. Obviously last week was our birthday podcast, and you should have been able to get the audio for that a couple of days ago, or actually still watch the video on YouTube as well. That's there live, and that featured all of, well, not live anymore, but the live recording is now uploaded onto YouTube and you can watch all five of us sort of eat cake and talk about weird things. That was really fun, and a bit silly, but that was really fun. We also announced on that we were going to be going to ByteCon, the convention that's going to be happening next April, which is going to be in Los Angeles, so we're going to have to go out to the West Coast again. But it's going to be a big Teen Wolf con at a hotel in Los Angeles. And Tyler Posey and Jeff Davis are both going to be guests, as well as other guests who aren't yet announced. Quite a lot of guests I think they're hoping to get. And we're going to be there as sort of minor guests / attendees. Hopefully.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
We can't really say a whole lot about what's going on yet because, I mean, we are involved with it, and so we know some stuff that we can't say, but trust me, guys, you want to look into going to this. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of things going on, and this is just the first year. I think it's going to get better year after year if they're able to pull it off more than once. So definitely look into going if you think you can afford it and you can make it out to LA.
Yeah, we definitely don't know all the facts. We have heard, we hear bits and pieces because we are sort of befriending the girls who are running it, and because we are signed on as I said, minor guests. Like, I'm doing quote unquote minor guests. and so we're going to have something going on with us at the convention. And then there's going to be obviously the celebrity guests as well. But all of the things that they're planning, like the different events that, you know, the ideas that they're throwing, like, you know, throwing ideas to a wall and seeing what sticks, all of the ideas have sounded, like, super fun. So it's really cool. But we will be there to hang out and, like, have a picnic and stuff or whatever. I don't know. Do people have picnics in Los Angeles? We'll do.
If not, we should start that tradition.
We'll have, like, a hotel room, like, picnic. We're already planning, like, not just for us. I'm sure we can invite some other people. We're pretty much already, planning, like, one night or, like, the night before the convention or something to have, like, a StarKid sing-along party of playing StarKid music and jumping on beds because we're all a little bit mental. I'm going to come and eat some pizza because American pizza is very special to me. I'm going to buy some salted caramels from my favorite place in LA that does these handmade salted caramels that are stupidly expensive.
I knew it. You always talk about those. I was like, I know she's going to get those.
I'm going to have to go out on the bus to go and get some salted caramels and bring them back for everyone to eat. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be right near my birthday. So that's sort of our big news. I'm not sure if there's any other Teen Wolfie news besides what came out at Comic-Con. We did get one Twitter question that I wanted to mention was from Addison Marie, who's asked, and I don't think this information was given out, but will the season 4 be the final season of Teen Wolf? Like, seeing as they're dropping down to 12. Was any implication given about that or anything like that?
Absolutely no implication. I obviously can't speak for, you know, the actual show or anything, but I don't think season 4 is going to be the last one. Jeff basically said that he begged MTV, the network, to drop it back down to 12 for his own sanity.
Oh, so they wanted
so
to
I think,
another full season. Like another
yeah, 24. Yeah, another 24. I think they would have been more than happy with 24, and Jeff just couldn't do it. So I think that, honestly, that is a reflection. You know, the drop back down to 12 is a reflection of Jeff needing that to be able to produce the show, you know, in as high quality as he has been. So I really don't think season 4 is going to be the last one.
Interesting. I mean, it's interesting in that case that they didn't like give it maybe you know, season 4 and 5, like, you know, unless he just doesn't want to do 24 episodes in the period of 1 year, and if he wants to do only 12 a year or whatever. That's cool. That they were keen to have more of it, I guess. Like, so that's quite.
Yeah, I mean, season 3 so far has been, I think, the best yet, just in terms of, like, the quality. I mean, a lot of people have been like, this feels like a whole different show, just because, like, they've really stepped it up. And also the ratings have been really high, and I think that the fandom just keeps growing. Teen Wolf right now is at its peak, so I'd be really surprised if they weren't planning on going longer than season 4, although they can't, you know, officially sign on to that just yet because they don't know what's going to go on. But yeah. I don't think the drop down to 12 is anything to worry about.
That's good. That's good news.
Yes, definitely.
Now, we are just potentially going to try introducing a new podcast. I say podcast weekly. We're not doing weekly shows at the moment. So a new podcastly section, a new episode section.
podcastly.
Yeah, like, you know, that's a correct measure of time, right? Like,
yes.
Basically, just based on our little live stream last week and our random questions that people apparently seem to enjoy in terms of getting to know us and maybe getting to know us in the lead up to BiteCon, which is the complete non sequitur question section, in which every host on the podcast is going to ask, well, there's only two of us this week, but whoever's on is going to ask the other a random question to answer, just so, you know, we chat about things on Twitter sometimes. We try not to stray too much from Teen Wolf, but just random things about anything. It could be about Teen Wolf. I liked our question last week about which fictional character in another universe would Derek date, or it could be a quick one-answer question, you know, one-word answer question. But my first one for Karen, this week's question I've got for Karen, and I'll answer it myself as well, is what book are you currently reading?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm currently reading Never Fade by Alexandra Bracken. It's the second book in the Darkest Minds trilogy, and I have to review it for the site, like, 2 days ago. So I'm trying to speed through that, but it's really, really good so far. I think I like it even better than the first book. So
cool. I am currently reading, I'm about 144 pages into Battle Magic by Tamora Pierce, who I mentioned on the last episode of the podcast was like my first favorite everything, like fandom, you know, kind of attitude thing. And this book is a really cool book, a new release like a couple of weeks ago. She's still releasing books in the two universes that she writes in, like these ongoing sagas. And this is a book set basically the universe that it's in, which is her Emmeline Circle universe, not the universe with the cat riding on the person's shoulder, her other universe, which I like equally. It's got a really interesting concept. Basically, they kind of have a series of like eight books, and then a kind of sequel to those, which is set pretty much like 4 years later when all of the people are like 18. And in that book, one of the characters, Briar, the main male character, you kind of hear all these like random, like he has kind of had this attitude change and all this stuff because of something that happened to him in the gap of time in between those first books and this book set later. And this book, this new book, is the story of, it's kind of like a, it's jumped back in time. It's gone and told this story of what happened to him in that time, which I really like because it was a cool idea, I think, to go back and tell that story if she knew what happened, because it really shaped who his character now is in, like, where the timeline is currently up to. So I was like, oh, cool. So now we actually get to hear that story. That's kind of fun.
Is that a full-length novel? Because I know a lot of authors tend to do, like, novellas or short stories where they'd go, like, in between certain books or, like, before certain books. But is this, like, a full-length book?
Yeah, it's, like, 450 pages. So, a book. So I think when she wrote the book, she was always intending to go back and tell this story, if you know what I mean. It just didn't come out in chronological order. I think it's kind of cool.
Right.
But I'm enjoying it so far anyway. But yeah, and I guess what is your random question?
Okay, well, I have to kind of credit you with the idea for this, but because we were talking about how we were going to be doing this and she was giving me like different examples of what we could ask and stuff. But I really want to know the answer to this question, even though it's weird, because I know how much you love cheese.
I knew it was going to be about cheese.
So what is your favorite kind of cheese?
Okay, my favorite kind of cheese currently is, this is an Australian sort of brand that's really, I'm sure there are versions of it elsewhere, but it's Mersey Valley cheddar, the extra sharp cheddar. It's basically a very soft, sort of crumbly cheddar with a very sharp taste, and it's very soft, like it kind of almost, it doesn't melt when you touch it, but it's kind of really malleable, like it's not a solid hard cheese, and it's a non-smoked cheddar. I don't like smoked cheddar. That I feel like a lot of smoked cheddar has a kind of meat aftertaste, which I'm a vegetarian, so I don't really like my cheese to have like a meat aftertaste. But it's a very, very strong cheddar, and it's very crumbly and delicious, and it goes very well when you eat it with strawberries, like Remy from Ratatouille.
Yes.
And I enjoy that cheese a lot. What's your favorite kind of cheese?
This is, obviously we are very serious about our cheese on this podcast. Mm. I love cheese too. One of my favorite brands is called Hell of a Good. Mm. And I used to not really like sharp cheese at all, but I've gotten a lot more used to it.
Same. I've built it up a lot. Very dark chocolate, and now I do. Like, I can eat, like, a square of dark chocolate and savor it, and I used to be like, bleh, that's gross.
Yeah.
same with sharp cheese.
I haven't quite gotten to that point yet. I still don't like dark chocolate, but maybe someday. But my favorite is Monterey Jack with jalapeno peppers in it.
Oh, wow.
Because I like anything spicy. Mm. And I was making something. Oh, it was like a pasta salad. And I was going to put in some chunks of that cheese into the pasta salad. And I knew that I had more than I needed for the pasta salad, so I, like, cut off a slice and just ate it. Then I cut off another slice and ate it. I ended up eating the whole thing, and I had to go out and buy more so I could put it in the pasta salad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it's so good.
I'm always trying to work out what Jack cheese is in our language, like in Australia, because I've had it, and like I know it's like one of the standard kind of white yellow cheeses, like, but I don't know if we call it something different, because we don't have anything here that we call like Jack cheese. So I'm gonna look it up and see like what it is, like what it would be compared to here, because I've definitely had it in America, so yeah, curious. We'll have to the place where I get the caramels, Karen, in LA it's a specialty cheese store. That's actually what it is, and the caramels are just a side thing. So you can come with me and we can get some cheese.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God. It's also It's also right next to Intelligentsia, which if you like coffee or tea is like renowned for like the best kind of like you know, best coffees and teas pretty much, or hot chocolates or cold chocolates or whatever, like the best coffee shop drinks, like some of the best in Los Angeles / the world. Like it's really, really, really cool.
Wow.
So yeah. We shall go there to yeah, it's Sunset, it's at Sunset Junction in LA on like, which is in sort of the edge of Silver Lake. It's this like red kind of red Spanish rendered tiny little shopping complex of like, you know, 8 shops or something, but it's got Intelligentsia and it's got the cheese shop where I have the beautiful caramels and many a cheese. So we shall have to go there as a podcast excursion.
Oh, this is going to be so funny. Like the highlight of our trip out to LA, BiteCon, cheese store.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know why anyone would, you know, think that was weird. Anyway, I suppose we should say goodbye now that we've been random. So let us know if you'd like to continue hearing our random stories about cheese or what books we're reading, or, you know, I'm sure that, you know, we can think up some new questions and not just talk about cheese every week. Ultimately, we could start us
questions too.
Oh, yeah, totally. If you want us to answer a random question, that is totally a thing. We could start a cheese podcast, though.
That would be cool.
Every week we could review new types of cheese. Okay, no, we have to stop. We have to stop. Yeah, so you go and finish the book so you can review it. And I will get this episode ready, I guess, to go up on Monday. Yeah, so we shall. I'm also about to go tonight to a presentation on timeshare apartments. I'm not buying a timeshare apartment, but I get a free $100 grocery voucher for attending, so I'm going.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't tell them that I'm really was never planning to buy a timeshare apartment. Apparently, I'm at the place in my life where I get invited to buy timeshare apartments. So I don't own a house of my own anyway, so I don't think I'm looking to buy a timeshare apartment, but I am curious as to what they are doing and how fast they will give me $100 worth of grocery vouchers. Anyway, we'll say bye, I guess. So, bye, Karen. Enjoy cheese and your new book that you are not finished yet.
Thank you. You do the same.
I will. I definitely will. I shall see you all soon, I guess. Well, not see you, but I'll talk to Karen soon, and I'll chat to you all soon. And yeah, I'm gonna probably go eat some cheese now. So bye bye.
Bye guys.
Bye. Jumpers.
What?
I'm gonna link you to this. Hang on. Look, I'll put it in the box. I just saw a thing on Facebook.
Ah!
Why are they wearing jumpers? Have they got like, oh yeah, oil spill, and they have to, and all their feathers are messed up. So, Oh my god! And there's a pattern for making penguin jumpers. So anyone who knits, I'm just gonna stick this on at the end. Anyone who knows how to knit and wants to knit a jumper for a penguin, go to the link in the show notes. So,
did you ever see the kitten in the mushroom costume?
No.
Oh my god. Hold on. Oh, there's kittens in all sorts of vegetable costumes. Oh, alright. Right here. There you go.
Wow.
Oh, it's so cute.
Oh my god. It's so small. Why?
I know.
Why is it in a mushroom? I don't understand. It's so cute.
I
actually think, like, it was injured, and this was a way to, like, keep it from, like, walking and stuff. Yeah,
but they put it in the mushroom.
It's so cute.
Oh my god. Let's make a mushroom costume for your cat.
My cat's really fat.
It would be a big mushroom. Yeah, I guess it's, like, to stop, like, it's to stop her, like, moving in a certain way to, like, make her heal. Oh, it's so cute. Anyway, we shall go. We shall go now. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. This is going to be a very strange blooper, probably, but see ya. Everyone likes cats in costumes, right? So, yeah.